It's finally arrived, and we're already into day two of Worldcon. Yes, the 72nd British, World Science Fiction Convention is taking place in Britain. It's here, it's at the Excel Centre, it's in London for the first time for a long while. We're delighted to be able to speak to a fantastic individual, Nicholas White. Nicholas, good to speak with you.
Excellent to be here, thank you.
Now, Nicholas, we've spoken to, obviously, some of the team that's gone together to coordinate this whole system. Some of our colleagues already involved in some way, shape or form. I'm thinking of John Jarrell, I think of Louis Savvy, obviously Dave Bradley from SFX. We'll hopefully be hearing from them later on today. But it seems to be going swimmingly.
No complaints so far. Obviously, little logistical teething problems. We had a thunderstorm yesterday, and the roof sprang a mild leak, which is a bit surprising for the XL, but it was quite heavy rain. Apart from that, I think things have been going rather well. The biggest problem has been the vast numbers of people wanting to come. We've had reports of quite long waits in the queue for registration, so the tip is to come early.
Quite right, too. I mean, I was attempting to do that to myself when I left Lincoln at about, I think, 5 a.m. this morning, but various things sort of came in the way. Still, life continues. Share with us, what's your official role with respect to LongCon 3?
I'm the director of the promotions division, which means that I've been in charge of the marketing of the event pretty much through all media, partly through general advertising, partly through advertising specifically to the fan market. And I've been doing that for the last 2.5 years since I was brought on board.
And a fantastic job you've done, sir. So there we are. Hats off.
I mean, it's very gratifying. We now have more signed up members than any World Science Fiction Convention ever has had. Not quite up to the record for warm bodies in through the doors, because 3,000 of those are supporting members who will not actually attend. However, we're only a few hundred short of the absolute record, which was set by Los Angeles in 1984, of 8,300. I think we will surpass that tomorrow.
We were speaking recently with a couple of our colleagues who were over at the San Diego Comic Con, of course, Richard Edwards, who sadly couldn't come to the sci-fi London event, or rather the LongCon event. I hasn't got our film festival sort of through here. Louis Savvy would be devastated. But I think one of the aspects about the growth and the phenomenal nature of science fiction is it literally has become a cultural phenomenon over the last few decades.
We have become mainstream. We had a leading article welcoming LongCon to London in The Guardian on Wednesday. I work in international politics, Alex. I cannot recall a cause I've worked for that managed to get a leading article in support of it from The Guardian. We had on Channel 4 News, we're here taping George R.R. Martin last night. They asked him to say, "You know nothing, Jon Snow," to them on camera. So, we have gone mainstream. Science fiction has arrived as something that need not be ashamed of itself. And there's been a change on our side as well, it must be said. I mean, more of us perhaps are active in other realms where we're dealing with the real world on its own terms. And I think we're just getting better at projecting it as not something threatening or weird, but something that's a perfectly respectable and very, very interesting and exciting side of culture to be involved with.
I was once fortunate enough to meet both the legendary Gene Roddenberry and Gerry Anderson over the years, and did say to Gerry that he'd inspire me to do a science degree before I went into media and various other sort of factors from that point of view. But there is that inspirational element very much to the fore with SF.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the people who unfortunately isn't here, but who we're particularly celebrating, is Ian Banks, who was a person who managed to marry the two sides of things very, very effectively. He was a charming individual as well, and lots of people here are missing him very much this weekend.
He'll be looking down from on high thinking, yes, that's okay, guest of honour, marvellous stuff.
That wouldn't be his view, but anyway, in the sense that he was pretty firm in his views about the afterlife.
that's true, in which case he's probably quite surprised.
Yeah, exactly, yes. If he's doing that, he'll be very surprised indeed. Yeah.
In terms of the event, the thing that really appealed to me in terms of the run-up for this event, Nicholas, is very much the balance you've got between hard science, serious science, as we actually say, and clearly we have a number of interesting facts at the University of Lincoln in terms of obviously areas within that, and of course the speculative side. Now, we've gone beyond the stage where science fiction was simply seen as a predictive device, and probably always, as I say to students, really, science fiction has kind of emerged from the culture of its time, whether it's H.G. Wells, British Empire material, War of the Worlds, and so on. From a contemporary perspective, what would you say LongCon actually sort of provides in terms of that balance between hard science, interesting science, and of course science fiction?
I think we're trying to reflect the breadth of the way in which the genre fits into the wider culture. Science fiction originally, and when I say originally, I mean in the late 30s, 40s, 50s, it was shaped as a rather technical engineering style of literature, as literature of techniques almost, rather than literature of ideas. I think we have now become a literature of ideas. We are now a place where people can explore things that they're not perhaps able to explore in contemporary, non-genre-based mainstream novels. And I think that's very helpful. But I think the other thing that's important to say is that we are community, and you wouldn't get the sort of focus that you have from everybody all mucking in, all helping out one way or the other. It's difficult to think of another genre of literature where you get that sort of feeling of interaction directly between authors and fans.
That's a fascinating line. I would actually move on to the notion of definitions of science fiction, but that would take the rest of the conference and probably into next year as well before we came up with a sort of derivation of that. Although I do quite like the idea of Jon Snow appearing in Game of Thrones, which would be quite interesting. But in terms of that, you mentioned obviously literature. Certainly my final year students in the English course who take the science fiction module at Lincoln, it's something I've noticed that there is a fascination with it, which there wasn't. And even that very notion of having a final year university undergraduate course which focuses on science fiction, I think certainly 20 years ago, inconceivable.
Very, very rare anyway. I mean, it was around. Science Fiction Studies as an academic journal has been around for...
Parender, for instance.
Indeed, yeah. You know, it's been around for 30, 40 years. But it's certainly... it's now, again, as I said earlier, it's becoming mainstream. It's no longer quite the same niche, obsessive, strange interest that it once was. It's become something that people can be expected to know about, where you can find questions about science fiction on University Challenge and on Mastermind, and people are expected to know the answers.
And quite rightly so, too. It's a well-rounded education. As we look ahead, of course, again, in terms of event, this is certainly the biggest science fiction-themed event. I mean, I haven't been able to make any of the previous Worldcons, despite John Jarrell sort of saying, oh, you must get along. Well, today, I have John, and I hope to meet up with your good self. But in terms of that line, it does resonate. Would it be a case of a sigh of relief when we reach Monday, Tuesday time, or would you just turn around and say, well, okay, we've done it. Like the Olympics, they succeeded. Bring it on for the next one.
For me, I think it's going to be more on the sigh of relief side of things. I must say, it's been great fun. It's been very challenging, but it has been great fun. And I'll certainly stay involved with future bids. We're hoping to bring it, for instance, to Dublin in 2019. And I'm certainly going to offer my services to the committee there. Up to them whether they think I've done a good job and they want to retain me.
I think I'll use my McCormick side of the family from Sligo to actually sort of push some influence on that side of things. Yeah, exactly.
Much appreciated.
Nicholas, it's been fabulous just getting an initial flavour of, as I said, day two of Loncon 3, let's give it its full title, the World Science Fiction Convention here at the Excel Centre. We certainly appreciate that. Hopefully we'll catch up again and you'll be at least a telephonic guest on some of our Parsec-themed science fiction programmes in future.
You know where to find me.
Keeping the balance of genders sorted through there, it would be very improper for us to actually have just done a fabulous feature with Nicholas without actually touching base on another superb organiser of Loncon 3. That, of course, is the fabulous Alison Freeburn. Let's get that sorted through here. Alison, good to see you.
Yes, it's very good to see you too, and thank you for coming to Loncon.
Well, I mean, it's just a fabulous event, and I mean, I've just soaked up some of the atmosphere, and it's so friendly. That's the thing that I'm always getting here. I mean, I know over the years we've constantly been saying that the thing about SF fandom is that there is a friendly sense of community, as Nicholas would say, in terms of that. But yes, there are queues. Inevitably, you expect that with the range of things there, but it looks as though it's going extraordinarily well.
It is going very well so far, and we're very pleased about that. We have a huge number of people coming to the Excel, and we're seeing lots of young people from all sorts of backgrounds, people in costume, people not in costume. But what is really striking is the sense of joy here. Everybody is having a good time. They've come here to meet their friends. They've come here to make new friends. And I'm really looking forward to taking part in that myself later on today.
Travelling down from Lincoln early this morning at 5 a.m, I was struck actually when we made the Docklands Railway for folk who were wearing their badges proudly, and I thought, well, that was very useful because I could actually just follow them to the centre.
Yeah, I find that too. I mean, I wasn't sure how to get here myself, but so I just followed the people with convention T-shirts with big smiles on their faces and with name badges on.
Exactly, fantastic stuff. So one of the things I've always got great sympathy in terms of organisers is you do such a fabulous job in getting everything out, sorted out, press, publicity packages, all the rest of bits and pieces. The event tends to pass it by. Will you have a chance to sit in on some of the panels and actually get a flavour of what's going on as well?
I very much hope so. I haven't had a chance to do that yet. I'm hoping maybe on Sunday I'll be able to go to the Hugo Awards ceremony, which is obviously one of the main focal points of the convention. And I'm also looking forward to catching up with old friends in the Fan Village.
I'm still holding out hope that possibly Ancillary Justice might do the business within that, but who knows?
Well, it's going to be very exciting. We had a lovely ceremony last night for the Retro Hugo Awards. Lots of people enjoyed that very much. And in keeping with the spirit of 1939, we had a swing dance afterwards, which was very well attended, and lots of people in retro clothing having a brilliant time.
It's almost a time travel convention as much as anything else on that point of view. Presumably you're a little bit of an expert when it comes to these conventions, events, organising committees and various other factors, etc. How is this shaping up in terms of, obviously, here we are, the 72nd. I appreciate you weren't around for all the 71 beforehand, but in terms of your own feel.
Well, I went to my first convention 25 years ago. Yeah, it was a small convention in Glasgow. And I was involved with the Glasgow Worldcon in 1995. Fandom has moved on so far since then. It's science fiction and fantasy is much more widely enjoyed and understood. We had George R.R. Martin here yesterday, so obviously Game of Thrones is huge worldwide. And more people feel able to enjoy it in all its different forms. So this convention is very different to the last Worldcon I went to. It's bigger, it's more vibrant. And I think also people are more aware that these events are happening. So we have much more people. There's more media interest as well. And this is great. I'm very pleased about this. It helps us kind of get the message out that conventions are a fun thing to do, and also help the media get involved as well.
As far as Parsec is concerned on Siren FM, certainly we're looking to continue to develop that, as indeed is Lincoln Inspired. I would be remiss, I've already mentioned John Jarrell frequently, hopefully we'll catch up with him later on today. I think he's chairing a panel on horror later on this afternoon, so we'll hopefully speak with him after that. But generally there is this sort of balance where it really taps into the zeitgeist, the spirit of the time, as we say, and also the sort of essence of, you know, science fiction really being not a cult niche market. I've avoided the Dave Golder phrase from SFX a few years ago of the geek shall inherit the earth, because I think it's gone beyond that.
I think it has, but one thing hasn't changed, and that's the sense of a community spirit, and also people are so inspired by these events. And one thing that I love about Worldcons is if you're standing in a queue to get a coffee, you don't know if the 15-year-old girl from Venezuela who's standing in front of you is going to be the next big thing in science fiction. Because people don't just enjoy, they create. And that is something that is so exciting for me as a fan and as an organiser. So many big stars of science fiction have come up through science fiction fandom, and I can't wait to read the work of the next one.
To use the line that they ended Star Trek the Motion Picture with, the human adventure is just beginning. Perhaps to paraphrase it, the science fiction adventure is just beginning.
It's a great adventure to be part of.
One of the brilliant things about SFX magazine is the fact that we have the editorial side of setup, which always features a wonderful photograph of the star editor in question, which means that when you come to a legendary event like LonCon 3, the 72nd World Science Fiction Convention, you can actually say, I think it is, it's Dave Bradley, yay!
Hello there, hello!
Good to connect with you, Dave. We've spoken many a time. We've never actually met in person as yet.
Absolutely, no. About 10 years, I think, we've been speaking on the radio, and this is the first time we've met. But as you say, it was, well, I've seen your picture on the site, but you've seen me in the magazine every month, so I'm glad we managed to recognise each other outside here.
Exactly. The plastic surgery has worked, which is fantastic. Dave, we've just been talking to a couple of the organisers here, obviously, Nicholas and Alison. My general feeling, and I'm just really covering the second day of the whole thing, is that it's thriving, it's blossoming. It's a bit like the London Olympics, but for SF fans.
Absolutely. Well, and the location as well, of course. We're not far from we're here in the East End. We're not far from the O2. You can see it outside. So yeah, but definitely it's the crowds are gathering. We're only on the second full day. But that's exactly a good way of looking at it. And it's going to be busy. So I know that they've had over 10,000 memberships. Some of those are associate and supporting memberships, but we're still looking at I think that over 6,000 people through the doors. Is that right?
As Nicholas was saying, we're approaching the world record currently held by Los Angeles.
Right.
In terms of warm bodies as opposed to supporting members, we're not talking zombies here. Mm. It's certainly the best attended event that we've actually had this side of the pond, and certainly significantly high in terms of the other side of the Atlantic as well. So great news.
That's absolutely amazing news, yeah. And I've walking around the convention floor, you can see that all the publishers are gathering. They're setting up their wares ahead of people coming. And there's a good atmosphere, actually. It doesn't feel too crowded yet, I don't think, but there's lots of people and lots of familiar faces. I can't walk from one end of the convention centre to the other without bumping into an author. And it's great to see so many of them in one place. coming in from all over the world as well, of course. So that's the important thing for us. The reason we're here, well, obviously to enjoy the panels and the dealers' room and all the rest and the Hugos on Sunday, is because of it's a magnet from everyone from all over the world. So we're getting an opportunity to see authors who we very often only see remotely. So this morning, so far already, we've met, interviewed, and photographed Robert Silverberg, Joe Haldeman, 40th anniversary of
The Forever War,
exactly. So that was a great opportunity. And it's only at events like this that you get to see these guys.
Fantastic. And, of course, a significant year as well for SFX Magazine, because issue 250 rolled off splendidly well, and the magic continues to go from strength to strength.
Thank you. Yeah, that's right. Yes, so issue 250, that's a big milestone. In fact, what that means is we're coming up to our 20th anniversary year, which is next year. So we'll celebrate that again. Another year, another anniversary to celebrate. But 250 issues, that was a milestone. And launching in May 1995, of course, we realised that we've got several hundred subscribers who have been with us since the start. I mean, we have many thousand subscribers altogether.
It would actually be me. I have subscribed since issue one. I have to say, Dave, commission.
Yeah. Amazing. Oh, well done. Thank you very much. That's great. And you know, we had an opportunity to interview a couple of those people in the magazine, and it's nice that so many people have stayed with us on this journey over the years.
Because I have to also, whilst I'm confessing, I've never ever subscribed to Starburst. I've purchased it, but never subscribed. Oh. SFX, subscribed from issue one, really. Oh. So there you go. Oh,
thank you very much. Thank you. Well, I've been the editor of SFX since 2005, and last year I passed my own personal 100th issue, which was a personal landmark as well. So that was good. So
did you get a cake?
I got some beers, I think.
Oh, that's okay. I was just thinking, a cake might have been sort of even more sort of wonderful.
We did celebrate it actually at the time, and issue 250 as well. We were able to. It's such a good opportunity to sit down with people who have been publishers and out people in TV studios and movie studios who've supported us through the years, and sit down with them and say, look, we've got this far, thank you for being part of the journey. So that was a good opportunity last month.
Very much so. And of course the glamour as far as editorial correspondence has continued to work, because one of our regular relatively regular West Coast correspondents is of course editor of West Coast and East Coast, Tara Bennett, who's joined the team.
Great, that's right, Tara, yes. Now of course actually last month I was out in San Diego Comic Con for the July annual event, and we were able to catch up with Tara there, and it's great to see her. She's great. Of course, she teaches media and screenwriting as well, and she and some of her other American correspondents like Joe McCabe, and Bonnie Burton, we were able to catch up with them out in San Diego, and that was great. They're good people. They cover a lot of TV for us, because of course a lot of the news takes place out there.
We're even talking about hopefully her coming over to Lincoln, which is very exciting really, if she makes that. I know Bath to Lincoln can be huge, but if she makes it over the Atlantic, we think we should actually see Tara Bennett in Lincoln as well.
If you get Tara to Lincoln, that's amazing. Well, if she comes over, which I think she comes to Europe occasionally, but not for some time, if she comes over there, well, I'll come to Lincoln too. We'll all meet up. We'll have a meet up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, this is great. I mean, it takes me back to a day when we actually had MJ Simpson, Dave Gilder, Robert Rankin, and Guy Haley in our first ever panel back in 2002 in Lincoln. There you go.
Amazing. Oh, great. Well, yeah, coming together, a gathering of the clans, we should do it.
Moving on, Dave, one of the things we've talked about is obviously how SFX and SF in general has kind of gone mainstream. But thankfully, we haven't had that situation that often occurs in music where people say, you've sold out, I like you better when you're really cult. It does seem to have kind of bypassed that effectively.
Yeah, I think that there's the kind of people who've always read or watched science fiction and fantasy are actually very eager to welcome in new fans. I think there's a kind of elder fan mentality enjoying sharing it. So you're right, there isn't that kind of elitism about it. But you're absolutely right about how mainstream it's gone. I was at a party last night for George R. R. Martin, who's over again for Worldcon, of course. And
Channel 4 getting him to actually give advice to Jon Snow, I gather. Mind you, Jon Snow in Game of Thrones, that's one I'd like to see.
The thing was that at this party, he's Jane Johnson, who's the big cheese editor at Harper Voyager, basically just said, it's things like Game of Thrones that have made fantasy cool. In fact, actually, watching it, we all knew it was cool. It's made everyone realise it's cool, and that's great. So we have people like George to thank for, and HBO, of course. They it hasn't hurt that it's been such a big hit on TV. But yeah, and you can see, I think people here at LunCon, it's a huge mix, incredibly diverse mix. Seeing lots of families here, and all kind of celebrating the different areas of fandom, and it's as cool as ever. In fact, actually, if you look at all the blockbusters, all the movies that make the cover of whether it's Empire or that the newspapers want to write about, they're all science fiction and fantasy. I saw a couple of years ago Matt Smith's Doctor Who advertised in Times Square in New York. And how about that? Not just mainstream, but mainstream in America as well. The place that, you know, Broadway.
And that continues to resonate. Dave Golder, has he moved on? I mean, he hasn't passed on, etc., but presumably, I mean, we've had the sad demise of the quarterly comic magazine, which was almost brought a tear to my eye when I saw that sort of wrapped up. Obviously, there's an online version and various other things that are actually there. So has Dave Golder moved on?
He has. So Dave, actually, the two things are actually coincidental.
I brought my Manchester City bag especially for Dave, had he been around, that's all.
Yeah, he's a... You mentioned two things. Comic Heroes magazine has closed. Yeah, it ran for 24 issues. We launched it in 2010, and it was quarterly. I loved working on it. It was great. There wasn't anything else like it, really. But it was always intended to be a fairly niche magazine, a kind of premier magazine for connoisseurs. Oh. Comic. And it was selling what we expected, but it was very small numbers, and we had decided for a few months to concentrate elsewhere, doing more stuff online and put more resource into SFX magazine and so on. Coincidentally, Dave Golder always intended to go and sort of pursue a freelance career, so that's what he's doing. So
he said the same thing in 2002, by the way, so it's just an interesting line.
He did. In fact, he'll be back again, and then he'll go again. Dave is an absolutely fantastic writer, and you'll still see his words in SFX magazine. I had a boozy pub lunch with him last weekend, and we talked a lot about what he's up to, and he's writing loads. His first love is writing about TV, and he'll still do that for us. And you're right. In fact, actually, I think the very first time I met him over a decade ago, he was talking about how he was going to chuck in working in an office, and he was going to go and be a freelancer. And so that's what he's done. That's his plan for 2014. Yeah.
Dave, it's been a genuine delight just sharing some thoughts with yourself today. Talking about obviously the event itself, we've looked at some of the sort of highlights that are coming together for this. I know it's obviously Richard Edwards. He's been left in the office for this one. Well, he had San Diego, so you know you have to monitor that whole thing. What are you most looking forward to in terms of LongCon 3?
The Hugo Awards. I'm always looking forward to the Hugo Awards.
Will it be Anne who wins it from the point of view of ancillary justice, of course. Will that be there, or will, as indeed another regular columnist who's been there from the start, will the controversy over the voting still impact on that sort of result?
So there has been a lot of controversy around the Hugos on a number of things. Both there was a big fuss about the fact that it was almost presented by Jonathan Ross, though. So there was the practical presenting side of it, and about the books that are on the ballot. I couldn't say whether that will influence how that's going to resonate on Sunday. I don't know. I will be there.
I should hope so, Dave.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And I think
in the jacket.
Suit and tie. I'm not going to be in my suit and tie. It will definitely be interesting. I think it'll be interesting to see when people do win it, what they say on stage, because I think it'll be hard to avoid the elephant in the room, but we'll see. I think it should be about the fans and about the books, and should be celebrating the work, so I hope there's that too there. And will it be ancillary justice? Don't know. I'm not a betting man. If I were, I might consider putting money in it, because it has what, you know...
Hoovering them up.
Exactly, it has. And I met...
The Arthur C. Clarks,
the Kitschies. And I met Anne the night before last at the Orbit 40th anniversary party. She's a very lovely person and a great writer. I love Ancillary Justice, and she was talking a little bit about that. She's flown over from America for the convention, and of course she was delighted to have won the Arthur C. Clarke and the Kitschies and things this year. She'll be there on Sunday. Couldn't say which way it's going to go.
But
been an interesting evening. So I'm looking forward to that. And of course there's many authors on the ballot that we both recognise. And Charlie Stross is shortlisted.
Is Sarah Pinborough around?
She is. I have seen her. Yeah, I saw her last night. Yes, yeah, she's here too.
Like yourself, we've spoken several times telephonically. You never actually met in person. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, no, she's here. Yeah, she's here. You'll see her around. She was out last night, so she's definitely here. But as well as, and actually, that's kind of, you put your finger on it, as well as the Hugos, which will be very exciting for Sunday night. The other thing that's a big deal for me at LongCon is meeting up with all these people. The science fiction and fantasy and horror community is exactly that. It's a community, and it's people that we, you know, familiar faces, people sometimes we only hear on the radio or by their blogs, sometimes people who we see at all the big conventions. They're all in one place. I'm looking forward to having a drink with all of them.
Dave, it's been a fantastic joy meeting you in person, so to speak. So great stuff. Dave Radley, editor-in-chief of SFX magazine, of course, and editor, I noticed these days, of visual media for Future Publishing. I saw an interesting title, which said, in terms of film publications.
It's the my job title is actually group editor-in-chief of film. which includes SFX and another other thing, and Comic Heroes, sadly, demised.
But Total Film, presumably.
And of course, Total Film as well, which is huge, and is Future Publishing's biggest selling magazine. And I've got a great team based in London, and I think that the digital magazine is huge as well. And I understand from the latest ABC results is doing very well. So those guys I work with as well, yeah. So.
And here's to the next 250 editions of SFX magazine. Dave, we salute you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It's a pleasure to speak to you.